Just go solo. Just decide you're going to do it and do it.
This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
Do you need a little boost? Do you need a little inspiration? Well, your solo travel advisor, Astrid Clements, has just the thing for you. 20 reasons you should go solo. I'm producer Catherine O'Brien. Now, some of you are avid solo travelers. You don't need to be convinced that this is a great way to go. But like so many times on Solo Travel Talk, when we're talking about going solo, we're talking about something much bigger than just going for travel. This is another fun episode that also goes deep. Plus, bonus, if you know somebody in your life who you think should be traveling solo, this is the perfect episode for them to listen to. Here's Astrid.
Okay, first of all, solo travel is educational. Now, you know, you can read whatever you want to read in books and guidebooks online, etc. But to me, travel is just a part of a well-rounded person's education. And you can't get the feel of a place or have any kind of real understanding if you go. So if you travel, and especially traveling solo, first and foremost, it is educational, and you will feel like a much better or well-rounded person by having traveled, okay? Second, enormously enriching. You know, there's nothing like immersing yourself in a totally new culture. The smells, the sounds, the sights, what the people look like. I mean, it changes your life when you come back. I mean, I use Marrakesh as an example. Flying into Marrakesh, very dry, kind of barren look. You get out. The airport is kind of, I wouldn't say it's very lavish or anything, but it has that kind of elegant North African Arab feel. Then you're taken to your hotel, you approach the city. It's the pink city. It's all the buildings are the same color. All the people have either colorful, you know, some kind of traditional garb on, whether they're men or women. You go into the markets, they're so colorful. You hear the sounds in the Medina, and everybody's walking around. Then you hear the muezzin or the call to prayer every so often. There's just vibrancy in the air. People are friendly. The food is great. I mean, you can't get that reading a book. You know what I'm saying? And you can't get that by going there. And by doing that, it's so enriching. It changes your life. Third, it's liberating. I mean, traveling solo gives you a new and broader sense on your own personal freedom. I mean, if you're out traveling solo, hear that, you think, well, man, I got it going on. I mean, you know, I'm definitely liberated. And, you know, for women these days, for them to feel like, you know, they can do whatever they want to do if they want to do it. Hey, girl, that's right. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you don't have to, you know, be like that all the time. But you feel like, you know, you can do what you want to do when you want to do it if it's something that you want to do. So I think it's very liberating. Fourth, it builds confidence. Let me tell you something. Being able to traverse and enjoy somewhere new solo successfully increases your confidence level. The buck stops with you when you're on the road solo. So you have to do all your problem solving. And by doing this, it just builds confidence. I mean, when you say, oh, well, I can figure this out. Or, okay, now what am I going to do? And you just kind of do it. I mean, the more you do it, you get more and more confident. And I guarantee you, when you get home, it transfers to all, you know, to your life. You just feel more like confident in your ability to solve problems, what you really think. And the more you see the world, you'll kind of come to more basic, really, wisdoms, etc. So, I really think it helps you build confidence that you don't even really realize. And then you take that back home And who knows, it might help you be CEO of your company. But what I'm saying is, it, by doing this, it is a natural confidence builder. And if you were traveling with others or whatever, you'd be relying on them, or you'd be doing, you know, it's
not the same. Yeah.
Different dynamic. Okay. You meet new friends. Now, this is something people don't think about when they travel solo. They go, oh, I'm going to be scared. I don't want to meet anybody. They might want to hurt me or something like that. I can tell you, if you're going to travel with a group or your friends or your husband or your sister or what significant other, you're not going to end up meeting that many people. You might meet some, but you really, most of your attention is going to be focused on them. So you won't see opportunities there. But if you travel solo, like I said, you know, typically even wherever you are, whether it's a restaurant or in an airplane or whatever, 20-25% of the people in there are going to be solo, whether they're attached to someone or not. And I mean, I have met all kinds of people on my travels, very nice people, people that I'm friends with now that I go visit, or people that are friends with me on social media. There's one couple that I remember actually when I was in Marrakesh. Mm. I met them at the hotel, and they were talking to the concierge about taking a day trip to the Atlas Mountains. That was something that I wanted to do. So I was listening to the conversation, and they were a very nice Indian couple who were actually British citizens who lived in Manchester, both doctors. And so I asked a few questions, and I said, you know, I hope you don't mind me. And then they said, well, why don't you just come with us? So I spent the delightful day with Dr. Studikal and her husband. They took great pictures of me. We drank tea in, you know, a traditional Moroccan house. We climbed up this mountain. We, you know, had lunch by a stream. We did all, I mean, but I'll never forget that day because these people were such nice people. And, you know, I consider her somebody who I really like. I would have never met them, or the chances that I would have done something like that if I would have been with others, I doubt that would happen. You are, when you travel solo, you get into situations or when you're at different places where there are going to be other solo people, or other people that you'll end up meeting who live there, whatever, that there'll be new friends. And, you know, if you wouldn't travel solo, you wouldn't meet these people. And you never know. That person might change your life for whatever reason. Okay, next is it broadens your understanding and appreciation of new cultures. Now, you know, we're being exposed now to more and more multiculturalism in the mainstream media, in everything. And some people like it, and some people are kind of resistant to it. I am the type of person, I've traveled so much, I realize all the time that when you go somewhere new, even if it's in another city, say you're a U.S. citizen, there's a little bit of a culture shock. I mean, the people are different there. And they eat they don't quite put enough salt on their food or whatever. But when you go to places with new cultures, you really do broaden your appreciation, understanding of them. You have to go there and spend some time so you absorb it. I'll never forget the first time I went to the Middle East. I traveled to Dubai about 15 years ago. And I was asked to come there as a part of the Dubai real estate. They were opening up some development there. It was a long story, but my husband did not want me to go. He said, oh gosh, you know, but I decided to go anyway because I really wasn't afraid. I knew the people that I would be working with, et cetera. And, so I was excited about it. Well, when I landed in the middle of the night around 1:30 at the Dubai airport, which is absolutely fabulously gorgeous, there was a sea of you know, and I knew the women were shrouded, but sea of black abayas. And then the men in the longer, you know, the gowns that they wear. But to see all of these women with these fully shrouded black abayas, some of which completely covered their face, some you could see their eyes, and some they had the little kind of veil, like you could see their face, but was like a shadow. That was very, I can't even describe it. I mean, I don't want it to sound just dumb and say it was weird, because I didn't think it was weird. I just, it was so, I've never seen anything like that. So it was just kind of like, it was shocking to see this. But it was so funny. After about the fourth or fifth day, I thought it was commonplace. I didn't even notice it at all. And I was thinking, I wonder how those ladies dress underneath. I wonder if they have a cute outfit on. But the thing about it is, it's a part of their culture. You know, the Muslims, and they're different in different parts of the world, you know, how much they shroud themselves or whatever. But the women pride themselves in being modest and in keeping their what they consider their essence from being not appreciated. And this goes back culturally in their religion, etc. So if you go there and you see it, and then you think, well, they're not doing it because they don't want to do it. This is just how they really do it. And I know it's hard for a lot of people who don't live in that part of the world or are in that culture to really understand it. But if you go and you stay long enough, you get it. And I didn't think it was, I mean, I actually bought myself an abaya. I did. I never wore it, but I had it just because I thought it was pretty. I bought a beautiful one. It had gold threads and everything. Oh, some of them are so, oh man, you know, don't think these ladies aren't got it going on. Some of them, woo. So,
but it sounds like you wouldn't have appreciated it, that just the understanding it the way until you saw it.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. I also went into some of their homes and I got to see how they were laid out. And there were homes, you know, multiple wives, the women in one section, the men in another section, how they work all that. One, he's with one. I mean, I learned a lot on that trip. And these were very nice women. I mean, I didn't feel in any kind of way that I didn't have anything in common with them. I liked them. You know what I'm saying? But this is part of their culture and everything. And so unless you go there and you are open-minded and you see it, it does broaden your understanding. And so I think that is very, very beneficial. You know, in one of the things that I always come think about is people are really the same everywhere. It's their cultures that are different. So if you broaden your understanding and you know, of the different cultural differences and experience them, you're definitely going to be less prejudiced. You'll be much more open to interaction with all different types of people, which is wonderful in my opinion. And you won't fear others. I mean, these are irrational things, you know, because people really are the same everywhere. They just have different kind of cultures. But if you get down to the basics, they're really the same. They want the same thing. So, you know, I think it's helped me definitely develop a live and let live philosophy. It's okay. I mean, it's okay to be different. But you have to appreciate that. And you have to respect those differences. And you can't do it, in my opinion, unless you go there. That's the only way you can really understand it and know it better. Okay, number 7, me time. And that's so important. I love this phrase and this reason to travel, because modern women these days have so many more responsibilities and so many more stressors. And these women, more and more women, are demanding me time. That's why you see so many spas everywhere and all of these things that I used to think, golly, that's a waste of money. Just go home and get a good, you know, loofah scrub and do it yourself. You know what I'm saying? But they don't even want to do that. They want to be pampered. They need, you know, extra things that will help to revive them or just kind of make them feel good or that kind of thing. But the bottom line is you know, when you have this me time, then you can just detach. You know, you basically you're there to recharge. You're there to think through some things that maybe you can't get through in your home environment. And like I said, that's why, you know, you see even in travel, spa weekends, all these different spas all over now that have different wellness programs, detox programs, you know, healing programs. I mean, there are all kinds of things now that different spas offer. And then, you know, trips to Paris or somewhere where you really want to go, that you've always want to go, and to do it by yourself. I mean, let me tell you, that can be really good as far as your me time, or just going to a beach resort and just veg on the beach. So there are a lot of people who are going solo, and I think the reason to go solo, if you want to rest, reflect, and recharge, and you can do that easy. I guarantee you, if you're with a group, you're not going to be able to do it the same way. Next one, solo travel is challenging. And, you know, if you're going solo, you're always going to face challenges. You're responsible for your own enjoyment. And I can tell you, you know, some people find that a little bit hard. They think that, you know, somebody else is going to have to make me like something or whatever. But you utilize and you fine tune, you know, your problem solving skills, because really the buck stops with you, you know, whether you're going to have a good time or a good solo travel experience. And I love a challenge. And maybe that's one of the reasons why I love solo travel, because I love a challenge.
Well, you've talked before about like this is that aspect of solo travel is like a life skill. So it's like you're responsible for your own enjoyment. That's something, that's a skill you can develop, and then you can start applying it in other spots of your life too.
Absolutely. And let me tell you, solo travel will help you get there easy. Okay, number 9, it's fun. Now, some people might not think it's fun, and for some people, it might not be as fun as others. For me, I love to have fun. So, you know, I can make a lot of things fun that most people don't think fun. And I have this kind of perverse attitude sometimes when things get really just on my nerves or whatever, I'll just turn it around. And I mean, I'll start acting like a comic or anything. I mean, just because, you know, I'm kind of like a whistle while you work. I mean, if it's not fun, I'm going to try to make it fun. But to me, solo travel really is fun. And it is one of the reasons why I do it. And I have a lot of fun doing it. You know, I love to people watch. I love to, you know, stroll through the markets and just take my time looking and maybe buying a few things. I love sitting in cafes, and people watching and all of that. And, you know, just to go exploring alone, is enjoyable to me. So it's really kind of like, what I call seizing the day every day. And to me, that is great fun. And you can do that as you solo travel. And if you do that when you're traveling solo and you have this kind of mentality, I tell you, fun comes to you. I'm thinking right now about this beautiful afternoon I spent in St. Mark's Square. They have these kind of these beautiful cafes that are very historic, been there 100, 200 years. And, you know, you can eat inside and get your gelato or your coffee and your cake or your ice cream or your liquor drinks or whatever. Or you can sit outside on the square, and they have these beautiful string quartets and everything. They play all types of music. And they serve you on silver trays and the whole thing. And I mean, that to me is living. That is so much fun. I mean, maybe some people would rather do it with a significant other or with others. But to me, I mean, I just feel like I'm on top of the world. So I think it's personally a lot of fun. Now, you know, here again, some people, I think, travel solo and they're not actually interested for the fun aspect. They're interested for other things. But to me, it's fun, okay? Number 10, it makes you appreciate your blessings or your good fortunes. And I can tell you, traveling, especially into third world countries, it does show you how lucky you are to actually to even be able to travel. And then on top of that, travel solo. Because the majority of the people in the world struggle to get by on a daily basis. That is such an eye-opener. And with that, to me, it always opens up some opportunities for something that you can do that's charitable. And I've really become very, I try to be tactful and classy about it, basically. But I do like to do that. And I had this one experience here recently that just warmed my heart so much. And I didn't do it to warm my heart. I did it because I wanted to do it for this young boy. But I was on a food tour and loved the director of the food tour. It was a fabulous food tour. And one of the stops was a single parent, mom, who had three children. She had a little taco stand in a big market, and she was making, according to the food tour director, really, her fish tacos were like the best in Mexico City. I mean, she had it going on with how she fried the batter and how she, you know, how she put the spices on it and just how she did the taco, the whole thing. In part of stopping at this little vendor, her young son would come up and he would practice his English. And the tour director said, I do help children and the mothers try to help, you know, their children with the education. And this particular lady, really, her son wants to learn how to speak English. So, you know, if you don't mind, why don't you say something to him that would inspire him? So we all said something, and he wrote it down, and then he was speaking it to us. I mean, he was like 7 years old, and he told us he wanted to learn English so he could go to America and see America. So after he did all that, I reached in my purse, and I thought, well, I don't, how much, you know, I wanted to give him something really big, but then I thought it might insult his mother. So I wanted to do something that I thought was tasteful. And you have to know that Mexicans, their minimum wage is $8 a day, if you can imagine that. So I gave this little seven-year-old a $5 bill, American dollar bill. He was so humble and grateful for it. I thought, my gosh. Now, if I wouldn't have gone to Mexico City solo and gone on that, I would have never been able to encourage this little boy that, you know, they are good people in the world, and you keep trying, you're going to get to America. I mean, and so my point is, you really do appreciate your own good fortunes and your own blessings. And part of that is to give back. So when you travel solo, you kind of see it a little bit more. You know what I'm saying? Next, it is invigorating. And that is for sure in my book. I mean, expanding your horizons with solo travel is just, I mean, it charges me up. And the more you do it, I think the more you want to do it. And you could lead to what I wrote here, travel junkie syndrome.
Do you suffer from travel junkie syndrome?
Yeah, I think I have to kind of confess. But there's, to me, there's something about travel, even the motion, you know, the going of it energizes you. And I think everybody who's ever gone on like a big trip or anywhere, they've had those sleepless nights. I mean, you can't sleep. You think, oh my God, I'm going to be dead tired. I have to wake up at 5 o'clock to catch the plane. And it's 3 o'clock and you still haven't slept because you are so energized. It's so invigorating. And then once you get going, you're not tired at all. After maybe the second day, you might have a little bit of a crash. But the bottom line is it is invigorating. Just the motion of it going somewhere else. It is, there's something about it that, you know, it does it to you, especially if you're going to somewhere new. Every time. If you keep going back to the same place, yeah, it gets a little bit, but the new part of going new places, very invigorating. So beware of travel junkie syndrome. Okay. Number 12. I'm really on this last one that it's a waste of time. It is not. Solo travel is not a waste of time. 12. It builds feelings of accomplishment. And let me tell you, when you check off those places on your bucket list, that's an accomplishment. And then when you get home from a solo trip, you're self-satisfied that you really did take the risk to go to do it solo. If you wouldn't have done it, you would have never seen it. And you just kind of chickened out, basically. But when you do this, I mean, and it, here again, this is another thing. It transfers into your daily life. I mean, you just feel like you can conquer anything. And it really does give you a lot of self-satisfaction. So I do think by traveling solo and doing it all by yourself and going to a lot of these places that you want to see that probably most people don't want to, and you do it, you come back, you go, wow, cool. That was cool. And it builds that, it's a lot of self-satisfaction. You know, they talk about now that, you know, it's more experiences more or more important than things and everything. There's a lot of truth to that. So, to do it solo, I think it's an even bigger buck in a lot of ways. 13, it builds resilience. Now, you know, this is another amen to this solo travel phenomenon, because the challenges you'll face and solve does help you build resiliency. I mean, you can't sit there and be a whiny baby, you know, or just say, I'm not doing that. I can't handle it. I mean, you just have to break through those barriers. But this here again will transfer into your daily lives. You're not going to let anybody put a barrier. You know, you're going to be realistic. But, you know, you build resilience, and you realize this on the road that you'll find they're funny. It's funny that things work themselves out even when they're going downhill. But you have to have that resiliency. I'll never forget, earlier this year, I was going to a travel product show in Las Vegas, and I was taking an early 6 o'clock flight or 6:20 flight. I got there in plenty enough time. I mean, the flight had been overbooked, and they said, sorry, you know, we can't let you on the plane. I said, I have a ticket, blah, blah, blah. The lady was so nice, and I was so nice. I said, look, I have to be in Las Vegas for this travel product show. This is a business trip, and, you know, I have to get there. I can't get there in the evening. I'm leaving on this early flight because I have meetings. She was so nice. She got me on another airline, another flight within about 2 hours of the original flight. So I was only there 2 hours later, which was no big deal. Mm. She gave me food vouchers to get something to eat. She made sure I didn't have any baggage fees or anything like that. And on top of that, she gave me a free voucher round trip ticket to anywhere that Spirit Airlines flies. And now I'm going to Cartagena in September because I was flexible. If I would have gotten upset, mad, and just, you know, thrown a hissy fit and then got myself in a ticket, she wouldn't have done that for me, or it would be a lot less likely she would have been that nice. I mean, she was very, very apologetic. She did everything in her power to compensate for this. And so, you know, by being resilient and having the right attitude, I mean, it something bad turned it to good. So yeah. What I say is don't sweat the small stuff, then roll with the punches, because a lot of times they'll turn into opportunities. But you have to have the right attitude. You know, if you don't have the right attitude, something that is a problem can turn into something horrible. So, you know, it does build resiliency. And I think that for a lot of people these days, that's important because people are, they're like mad. I mean, that road rage is here. They're going to hang up on you because I can't talk to anybody. And I know I'm kind of, you know, I don't like all of these robocalls and all this kind of stuff. And I mean, after a while, I mean, you feel like you're helpless. You can't solve the problem. You know, it's horrible. So, but you got to keep trying to be more and more resilient and outsmart all of this. So I think this solo travel does help you with that. The next one, it pushes you out of your comfort zone. And, you know, this is why, to me, a lot of young people love solo travel, but older people resist it. But really, whatever age, if you get out of your comfort zone, here again, there are a lot of benefits and it's going to teach you something. It makes you more open. It makes you more compassionate. You can, you know, handle challenges better. It increases, like I told you, your confidence level, makes you stronger. And it also helps you in creative thinking. I can tell you, well, I put here, I can go on and on, but it really does help you think outside of the box. When you're by yourself and you're doing this and you think, well, I don't know, where should I do this or how would I, you know, I mean, your mind is much, it opens up more. And you, I tell you, if you're with other people, especially your spouse, that you're always with, but you know, or your family, it just doesn't happen the same way. So I think it gets you outside and it makes you think outside of the box. And I wrote here, woman, hear me roar, but basically it fosters your development as a strong, independent, confident woman. It really does. Okay. The next thing, and I hope I haven't repeated myself, but I love all this so much. I will repeat it. I will repeat it, just know this is another reason that I really believe. It's inspirational. I mean, when you travel solo, you laser focus on many different things that you're experiencing, which leads you to inspirational thinking. I mean, I know myself, but sometimes I will have a problem that I have tried to solve for 8 years. I will be somewhere on the other side of the earth and man, bing, it comes to me. This is it. This is the answer. This is the game plan. This is how I'm going to happen and how I'm going to deal with it. I don't know what it is, but you don't get as much inspiration or, you know, it's harder in your own daily environment a lot of times. And when you travel solo and you're out, it's free, you're in motion. It's amazing how this works. And I'll share just one example here recently. Last year, I decided to go to Paris because I had gotten in a place where I thought, I need to redo my look. You know, I'm looking so dated that it's even getting on my nerves. My daughter's always saying, oh, change those sunglasses. Or, oh, no, you can't do this. Or you got to put skinny pants with bigger tops. And, oh, you know, she's got all these things. She's a foodie and a fashionista. So, and I do defer to her. But I decided I'm going to Paris. And I had watched this one woman. She was very inspirational. She had been very ill and homebound for years, and she went to Paris kind of her last trip because she felt like that she might pass away within a year. And it completely, it re-inspired her to, I mean, it just completely updo her whole life. And one of the things she really got interested in is how Parisian women, whatever their age, all look like babes. You know, the head is way about them and the way they dress. And they don't have to have all this expensive stuff on, but it's just a lot of stuff. So she did a whole series of videos called Parisian Babes. And it's very interesting, if you're, especially if you're older and you want to kind of get into it. She's got a lot, and she's a delightful person and very well spoken. But she has a lot of good videos. So I thought, oh, yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to be a babe again. So I decided to go to Paris. Well, honey, I was so inspired when I went to Paris. And I really, it did kind of made me redo my look. And, you know, I've done a little things here and there and all these guys. And it has helped. So that was inspirational to me. And that's what I'm saying. Solo travel can inspire you. Say you love gardening or whatever, and you see all these different garden techniques. You'll come home, it'll inspire you. Okay, this year I'm going to do an all white garden or something like that. You might not have never thought of that before. But if you go and you travel all around, especially, like I said, solo, because you can tune into things more, inspirational. 16. Broadens your thinking. And here again, it fosters your thinking outside of the box, and it helps you to be flexible. And that, you know, the older you get, I find it's harder and harder to be flexible. But when you go solo, you got to be flexible. And I'm going to use a real kind of goofy example, but just let's talk food. You know, I just went to Mexico City, and on this food tour, I ate a dish that had crickets in it. Now, if you would have told me, and I'm from Louisiana, so I eat crawfish, we have mud bugs, so I really, I guess, shouldn't, you know.
We're not that far off, though.
Yeah, yeah. But crickets, I mean, yeah. But when you travel the world, I mean, you know, the scorpion, you know, eat scorpions on a stick in China, and all these kinds of things. You know, when you allow yourself to kind of take a nibble or to bite, you'll be surprised. You like it. Like when I went to Vietnam, they said egg coffee. I said, oh my God, that sounds so nasty. Egg coffee. Well, I went on another food tour, and here we went to a great egg coffee place. Egg coffee. And I'm a coffee connoisseur. Egg coffee is out of this world fabulous. It's like having a coffee with custard, like a creamy custard cream in there instead of like half and half a real cream. And it's also vanilla in it. Oh God, it is so, it's like a total dessert. It is fabulous. Escargot, you know, snails. A lot of people think snails, oh my God, never, gross. Stinky cheese. What I'm trying to say is, you know, if you're going to travel and you're traveling solo and you come in and you get, I mean, try these things, because I can tell you, you just might love it. And a lot of times you probably will love it, or you might develop a taste for it. And not just with food, but it helps you let go of unknown fears or negative beliefs. Because really, of your lack of experience, you know, of something that, you know, you have some kind of unfounded bias for. But if you're going with your friends or your husband, you might really not do it. But if you're solo, you might say, well, I'm going to try it. And if I don't like it, I'll spit it out. You know? But I'm just saying, it just really does help your ability, again, for new solutions to problems, and increases your creative thinking. It just opens you up. So, you know, you think outside of the box more. So that's, you know, that's, to me, one of the benefits. Okay, 17. I'm almost to 20. And 20 is the best one. Okay. increases your compassion quotient. I've already talked about a little bit about this, but understanding people more who have different values, different social norms, they look different from you, they dress different from you, they practice different spiritual beliefs. It just teaches you to accept the differences and to understand their struggles. You know, and some things that you think are struggles really aren't struggles to them. You know, somebody might feel great because they can go and have their taco stand every day and do their little thing. You know what I'm saying? That they might, that just might make them feel like, you know, fab. But when you see this, you become more compassionate about a lot of different things because you understand it more. And again, it gets you to that point that you can agree to disagree and still get along. You know, you don't have just because you're different or whatever. Well, you know, I mean, everybody should struggle always against that because that's just an outer thing. I mean, you know, good people are everywhere. It doesn't matter how different they are, and there are bad people everywhere. So I think solo travel allows you to increase what you learn when traveling really on a deeper level. And so you have more solitary time to process what you're learning and experiencing. And that leads to more compassion. It's just a natural phenomenon. Okay, next one. It helps you learn to be silent. You know, a lot of people have a trouble with being quiet. And to me, sometimes I do. So I understand this. It's better to be quiet than it is to talk or whatever. But when you're traveling solo, many times you don't have anybody to converse with. And so you find yourself with just your thoughts. And this can also be very enlightening, like I showed you in another example. You might not can get to square one with a problem, but if you sit there and silent, you're being silent, amazing things will come in, it'll get crystal clear, and you'll figure something out that feels right and is right. So I say silent thinking time when you're solo traveling can be invaluable to increase your quality of life. And I really do believe that because I know some of the most trying times in my life where I wanted to fix this problem, you know, get rid of this. I had to be silent. I had to be still. I had to really dig deep and I had to listen to what was revealed to me by practicing that silence. I mean, and you know, they talk about meditation. A lot of people meditate, but this, when you're solo travel, there are a lot of times where, you know, sometimes I've had 3 days where I probably didn't say 20 words to somebody because I was doing this or I was part of this and I was just silent. And sometimes I don't even turn on the TV because I don't want to hear all that racket, especially stuff that gets on my nerves. So this gives you great opportunity for silent time and thinking time. And I think that's very important personally. And the older you get, I think that, you know, you value that and you want that. You want peace and you want to try to get everything good and right. Okay. 19. We're almost to 20. Teaches you how to live with less or finite resources. You know, when you're on the road, you basically don't have all the comforts of home. And you only have a certain amount of money to spend, and you have to prioritize and reprioritize what's important. You can't bring everything you want to bring. Packing light, I mean, and traveling light really is an art, but it's good. It teaches you, and the more you do it, the less you want to pack, a lot. And there's the whole minimalist approach to living and traveling is so modern and au courant now. But I think there's a lot of wisdom at the bottom of this art. And it's basically less is more philosophy. And when you travel solo and you don't have any porters or whatever, you and the more you do it, you don't want all these bags and all this kind of stuff. You want to go with the less, the least amount, but you got to have the right stuff. But it helps you develop those kind of habits. And then you do it in your home. You don't want as much. The same thing. So it teaches you that. The last one. It teaches you how to be happy alone. And I've talked about this on, and you almost said it halfway through the program, Catherine. I've talked about this in other podcasts. But this is really, to me, one of the greatest benefits to solo travel. You know, so many people have a fear of being alone or being lonely. And to learn how to be happy alone, I think, is a foundational skill for a happy life. You know, once you've conquered this, you can enter, in my opinion, into happy relationships that are not really based solely on dependency or someone else being responsible for your happiness. And I can tell you, solo travel helps you learn how to be happy alone. It really does, because you are totally responsible of how you feel and whether you're happy or not. And I can tell you, when you can be happy alone in any situation, and I know that sounds like an oxymoron, happy alone, you've got a big breakthrough in where you are as a person. So I challenge you to think about this. And when you're traveling and traveling solo, think about this. How happy am I really? And what is going to make me happy? What's really going to make me happy? Or why am I not happy? But strive to be happy alone first. And I guarantee you, it makes your relationships better, because you're not looking for somebody to fill something else. You've gotten past all that. So if you can find somebody else that's kind of like that, then and you've got a lot of similar interest and everything like that, whew, it might be a great relationship. So that's my last one. And I'll end with, yeah, we don't want to just kind of talk about the same things. I mean, Catherine, I love Catherine, my producer, Catherine O'Brien. She has a like-minded spirit that I have, and we're always looking for things that are really relevant, that haven't been talked about that much over and over, things that people are really thinking about or wanting information about, that we are a real source from it. Because yeah. I can tell you, I travel a lot. I've traveled a lot for the 40 years. It's a passion of mine. I've been retired for 10 years, and so this is my last project. You know, I've had several businesses that I'm doing to share all of this insight and to, you know, to help people love solo travel and really make the world a more peaceful place because people understand each other.
That's a great goal. That's a really good goal.
It's a true goal.
Yeah, I know. I get you.
I trust that this episode has left you very uplifted, high-minded, and thinking about your solo travel. But guess what? There are some practical considerations too, like packing. So if you are now going to pack your bags, Astrid has an amazing packing list for you. It's complimentary, available on her website, astridtravel.com. Just right there on the homepage, there's a place where you can submit your email and be able to download the packing list right away. This podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, all of the finer places that podcasts can be found. We love having you subscribe to the show, because not only does that help us, of course, but it also pushes this show out to people like you who need this very valuable solo travel information. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We look forward to seeing you next week on Solo Travel Talk.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or her solo travel advisors, visit her website, astridtravel.com. www.solotravel.com.